Good morning. Welcome to our worship service. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 299 in our call to worship, In the Name of the Lord. Hymn number 299. Father, thank you for this Palm Sunday as we remember the day that our Savior, in fulfillment of prophecy to the day, rose into Jerusalem to present himself as king to the nation of Israel. Father, we know that they rejoiced and they praised him, and we do so today. But we also know what happened days later, as we mentioned in Sunday school today, how the people turned and they were calling for the death of our Savior. And Father, we pray that even as we think on the worship of him and the rejection of him, but then all of this in your plan, that he would be able to give his life as a ransom for many, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we praise you that you were working. Even as man was plotting his evil, you were planning this for good. And we praise you that through that that act, that day, Jesus paid the price for every sin we have ever committed, all of us here today. He paid that penalty in full. And then he died on that cross, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. The sacrifice had been accepted. And Jesus was raised from the dead as the first fruits. For all those who would believe in him, we would rise as well. And we thank you for this joyous time, a sober time as we remember the death of our Savior, but also a time of great joy as we know why he did that. He did that in love for us and mercy and grace. And now through him, through faith in him alone, we are saved and on our way to glory. And Father, we thank you that your Spirit fills us today. We pray that he would move and work in each heart. Bless Pastor as he brings the message. We pray that all that is done in this hour will bring honor and glory to your name. Lift up the name of Jesus and help us all who know him to rejoice in him all the more, to see him more clearly. And if there is anyone here who comes in today who does not know Jesus, we pray that he or she would know the way to be saved and that they would call upon the name of the Lord. We commit this hour to you and give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's continue in our work
from the Gospel of John. Of course, the Palm Sunday passage is in all four Gospels, but I wanted to read this morning from John. We haven't looked at this one for a while. John chapter 12, and verse 12. Oh, wait a minute. No, verse 9, I'm sorry. Verse 9. Chapter 12, verse 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come into your house to worship you. We praise your holy name for all that our Lord Jesus Christ means to us, and we thank you for the salvation that we have in him. We pray your blessings upon each person who is here today. You know our hearts, you know our needs, and we pray that you will supply the needs that we have. We pray for any who are ill today that you might touch and heal them, strengthen them, encourage them. We do pray, our Father, for Peggy, that you'll help her with her eye situation, that it might all clear up and that she'll be able to see and be more comfortable. We pray for Donnie Fort, that you'll continue to watch over him and keep him in your care. We pray today for Kathy and for Tom Nichols, that you'll meet their needs, whatever they may be at this time. And we just commit them into your hands and pray that your will would be done. And we pray for each one of us that we would look to you for every need that we have. We thank you for our church, our Father, and for the privilege of being here in fellowship and serving you together. And we pray that we would indeed honor and magnify your name. We do pray, our Father, for our country today. We know that it's not good. Many of the things that's going on in the world today, and we just pray that you'll give us the wisdom and understanding to know how to react to the things that are happening around us, and keep us in your care, and give us the wisdom that we need for our lives in all that we undertake. Lord, have mercy upon us and guide us and lead us and teach us what we need to know that we might be better servants of yours. May Christ our Lord and Savior be glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. It's the occasion when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, presenting himself as the king. Many of the people waved the palm branches and rejoiced as he entered the city. All four Gospels tell of this event, very important, as we begin the last week that Jesus walked upon the earth before his crucifixion. This is what we call Holy Week or Passion Week, as we think about the coming of the death of Christ and all that that means to us. The gospel writers devote a great deal of space to this last week that is mentioned here in the scriptures. So much of the space is devoted to that one time because it was so important. This was the culmination of the life of Jesus, why he came into the world to begin with, to die for the sins of the world, to offer eternal life to all those who would believe in him, putting their faith and trust in him as the Savior. You know, we all need a Savior, right? Some people may think they don't. And that's one of the big problems, isn't it? The pride of man that says, oh no, I can make it on my own. I don't need anyone to help me, right? And yet Jesus said that except you come to him, except you receive him as your Lord and Savior, that you have no hope of life after this life is over. Only punishment and a terrible destination. So here we see the presentation of the king. We think, most of all, this happened right after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And it's interesting here, the first few verses that we read have to do with that, and the high priest and the other functionaries of the leadership of Israel were saying, you know, we're going to have to do something about Lazarus as well, because many people are coming to believe in Jesus because of him. Now, wasn't that a good testimony for Lazarus? And what did Lazarus do? He died, right? And they buried him, right? But then he came out of the grave again. And if he had something to do with people coming to Jesus, he must have been saying something about that. Do you think you would say anything about it if that happened to you? Huh? My goodness. That's quite a unique experience, right? To die, to be buried, that's very normal. We had that yesterday. Celebrated the life of Larry Fenstermacher. And had the ceremonies. But then he is there until the resurrection, right? Okay, and Lazarus had the opportunity of coming back sooner than that. And what happens to Lazarus after this? You think, will he die again? Oh my goodness, I guess he will eventually, but he has this time to continue on. But here we find this is the setting. Just right before this was the glorious resurrection or resuscitation of Lazarus from the dead, and with all the joy that that brought. But now we find Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Some of the other Gospels go into detail about the donkey and all this, and how they have to send the disciples to get the donkey, and the people say, hey, what are you doing releasing the donkey and all that, you know. John doesn't go into any of that. He just says that they got the donkey and that Jesus rode upon him. So here we find the time is very soon for Jesus to finish his task. It was Jesus had just raised Lazarus, as I said, from the dead. And then many of the Jews had witnessed this miracle and had believed on Jesus, and they had followed him from Bethany, which was just a few miles away. And as they came on down to Jerusalem, there was already an entourage coming along with them as he came into Jerusalem. And others had heard about the miracle and were very anxious to see what was happening here. Verse 18 says, "For this cause the people met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle." See, they're still excited about the raising of Lazarus and all of these other things that were going on at this time. And this also was an important time for Israel because it was Passover time. You know, this was the time when they celebrated the release of the Israelites from Israel, from Egypt, excuse me. They, as slaves, you remember, they had been there for 400 years, I think it was, or something. And then they came out. God called Moses down there, and he led them out. But before they left, they had the Passover. And the death angel came through the land, and everywhere the people were, they had to put blood on the door to show that these people were covered with the sacrifice that God had required. Just like today, we have to have the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from our sins, right? And we trust in him completely. And here, the people at the Passover time were waiting for that. So then every year, this is the big feast that the Israelites have, the Jewish people have. And they all were gathering there in Jerusalem. The city was in constant turmoil, so to speak. Some with joyful, some perhaps sad. But here we find they are gathering there in Jerusalem. And Jesus is coming. It's the most important holiday on the Jewish calendar, time of joy and gladness. And Jesus became the central figure of this whole scene. Now, it speaks here about the scriptures being fulfilled in Zechariah chapter 9. Let's take a look there for a minute. Zechariah chapter 9, we find here this prophecy. In chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So here it's very clear, and Jesus is presenting himself as the king, riding upon the donkey, coming in peace. You know, the people, when they would come through as a conqueror, come through on a white horse or something, you know, something like that. But the donkey was a peaceful animal. And Jesus is coming in, riding in this way, presenting himself as this type of king. You know, he says the people were expecting someone to come and overthrow the Roman government and take over, you know, set up a kingdom, all glorious and everything. And Jesus said, "That's not the kind of kingdom I have at this time. That's not what I am doing. That is coming later on, but certainly not yet." But here we have this prophecy about 500 years before Christ. It was written that he would be coming in this way. And these people had read the scriptures, and they knew that this is what it was all about. Another scripture was fulfilled as the people were praising God and and saying, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is in Psalm 118, verse 25. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. So here we have it. It says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna, of course, means save now. And it was used by the Jews as a word of praise to God. This is one of the, like we say, amen, or hallelujah, or Hosanna. And here they said, Hosanna, which means save now. O Lord, we need you. Come and help us in this time of need. And the palm branches that they were waving were a symbol of the Jewish nationalism since the time of the Maccabees. You know, the Maccabees were the ones that liberated Israel from the Syrians way back in history there, and gave them victory. And the palm branches were a symbol that they were overcoming. Okay, we find here Jesus coming, riding in on the donkey. What's the reaction? Find the people singing and rejoicing and waving the palm branches and symbols of victory, looking forward to what's coming, thinking, hey, this is a joyous time. Now, his disciples were somewhat confused, and they didn't seem to understand exactly what's happening until later. Look, verse 16. It says, these things understood not his disciples at the first. For when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. You see? The disciples, they were just, you know, going along with Jesus and wondering, what's he going to do next? What is coming now? You know, thinking of all this. And they didn't quite understand what was happening. But later, after it was all over, they looked back and they saw. You know, you ever have that? You know, you're going through something, you wonder, oh, how long, oh Lord, how long is this going to endure or something? But then when it's all over with, you look back and say, praise the Lord, here it is. We made it, right? And so that's what he's saying here. The disciples were somewhat confused, wondering exactly what is going to happen next. And it all became clear after Jesus was glorified. We'll see that next week, okay? And the Pharisees, of course, were angry and plotted against him. Look at verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. They're upset. Think, you would think the Pharisees, these are the leaders of the nation, spiritual leaders. You would think they would be happy that everyone else, you know, is rejoicing and having such a good time. But instead, they are turned off completely. Because they don't believe. You know, that's always the thing, I think. We wonder. We who do believe wonder, why don't they do this? Why do they do this? It's because they do not believe. You see, that's the crux of the matter, isn't it? By grace are you saved through faith. If you don't have faith, you know, what are they going to look at? If someone doesn't believe in Jesus, doesn't believe the Bible, they don't know, you know, what's he really saying, what's he really doing, then they go their own way. They do all kinds of, we think, wild things, stupid things. And yet it's because they don't believe. So we have to pray and trust that they will change their minds, change their hearts, and come to Christ and put their faith and trust in Him. So then we're looking here, down here, this is something new, and down in verse 20, it talks about, it says, there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Huh? Isn't that a wonderful thing? To see Jesus, to see Him in His Word, to see Him wherever He is. And some of these days we're going to see Him in person. Oh my goodness. That's wonderful, isn't it? But these Greeks, and there's something very significant about this. Now we don't know if they were Gentile Greeks or if they were Jewish people who from Greece or whatever. But it seems there's something significant here, that these had come to worship at Jerusalem. And Philip comes and tells Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus, and Jesus answered them, saying, notice, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. See? Here, Jesus is coming to the place where He is going to be glorified. And these people coming to wanting to know Him, Sir, we would see Jesus. Jesus. It doesn't say whether He actually saw them or not. I mean, we have to assume, I guess, that He did. What do you think? What was significant about this? You know, all the way through the life of Jesus, people would ask Him different questions, and He would always say, mine hour is not yet come. He said that before. And here He says, the hour is come. Here we are, the culmination of all of this that's happening. The Son of Man is going to be glorified. And then He noticed what He says. How is He going to be glorified? Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So, all the farmers know that, right? You have to sow the seed into the ground, and it has to germinate and die, and then the crop will come up. Jesus is saying here, He has to die and be buried, and then will be glorified when He comes forth from the grave victoriously. So here, He has to this is something that has to happen. You know, we don't like to think about death, do we? You know, and when we talk on a Good Friday or whatever about the death of Jesus and all that went along with that, it's a horrible thing to think about, right? And yet, Jesus said, it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. This is the sacrifice that He made to redeem us from our sins. And He speaks of it here as the glorification of the King. Yeah? And the hour is come. So it's a time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus had presented Himself to the nation as the Messiah. They had the opportunity to receive Him or reject Him. Yeah, but the leaders of the people, they would not accept Him. They, even though we talk about the triumphal entry and all of the joy and everything that comes along with it, we find that ultimately they rejected Him, didn't they? Someone said this morning in Sunday school, I think it was, we were talking about this, and how could they, on Palm Sunday, rejoice in the King, receive Him, and worship Him, and a week later, crucify Him, even less, during that week. And I did hear one time that it may not have been the same crowd, because here they are, you know, it could have been a different crowd that had that, but be that as it may, we find that ultimately they rejected Him. The blessings of the kingdom would be deferred until His return, when He comes again in power and great glory. Now a greater hour has arrived, the hour of the King's glorification through death and resurrection. For most people, we don't like to think about death. But for Jesus, He knew that it was absolutely essential for the salvation of mankind, of His people, of all those who would trust in Him. His willingness to die for the sins of others, it's in obedience to the Father's will. And that's what Jesus always said when He came. He said He always came to do the Father's will, right? And He submitted Himself to that. Even though we read there in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed, "If there be any other way, let it pass. But nevertheless, thy will be done." That's what He was doing, you see. And this was the hour for which Jesus had come. He says here in verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." See, this was His whole purpose in coming. All of His ministry, His life, leading up to His death on the cross and His glorious resurrection. So here we have, this is the hour, this is the time that He says, "Father, glorify thy name." And verse 31, He says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." So here Jesus says, this is the time when it's all going to take place, the judgment of this world. And the prince of this world, of course, is Satan. He's the god of this world, the one who God has allowed to work. And yet this is going to be his downfall. That seems strange, doesn't it? You know, think about that. The death of Jesus, going to the cross, dying for us, defeated Satan. He didn't want Jesus to die because he knew that that was the payment for our salvation. But so here we have, he says, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all unto me." You know, he is the divider between those who are saved and those who are not. Jesus is the one. And we all have that opportunity to come to him. He's lifted up on the cross to pay the price for all of our sins. The people didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Down in verse 34, he says, "The people answered him, 'We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. What do you mean the Son of Man is going to be killed?'" See, they didn't understand all of this. And They were spiritually blind. They wanted the king, yes, but they wanted freedom from the Romans. That's basically what they wanted. And they were not really interested in what Jesus was doing. Right? They didn't understand. And they were not following him in that way. Then we notice here the invitation Jesus gives them to believe in verse 35. Jesus said to them, "Yet a little while is the light with you." I'm here. "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." Jesus, the light of the world, right? It said that he's lighted every man that comes into the world. We all have the opportunity of knowing him. "Beware of the darkness of sin," he says. Don't walk in darkness. The scripture talks in other places about God being light. And in him is what? No darkness at all. You know, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship with the Father, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. So Jesus is urging them to come into the light, to believe in him, to put their faith and trust in him. Beware of the darkness continuing on in your sin. Turn to Christ and trust in him. Believe, he says. Believe in the light while you have the time. Don't put it off. Don't turn away. Don't think, you know, later on I'll do it. So many people think that, you know. "Oh, I'm having a good time right now. I'm going to wait a while before trusting in Christ." He says, no. Believe in the light while you can. And then walk in the light. You know, once we come to Christ as our Lord and Savior, he says, continue on. Walk in the light. Don't go back into the darkness. You know, you can't see where you're going, right? If you're in the darkness, you can't see what you're doing. You don't know. He says, no, walk in the light so you can see where you're going and do what brings glory and honor to the Lord God. Walk in the light. This is the invitation that Jesus gives us today. Believe in the light, the Lord Jesus. Walk with him in fellowship. And beware of the darkness of sin. Something that we all need so much. So the king came to his people, but they refused to receive him. They didn't understand exactly who he was. They only wanted an earthly king. They preferred to go on in their bondage rather than be set free. You know, we talk about the triumphal entry, but as it was not a triumph in the true sense of the word. But Jesus is going to bring glory and honor to the Father through his sacrifice on the cross. Now the question we have to ask ourselves today, do I really trust Jesus as my Savior? Have I believed in him? Do I believe? Am I walking in the light? Or am I still in the darkness? We need to make sure that we understand that. He died to take away all of the darkness and sin. If we will only put our faith and trust in him. So he invites people today to come to him and to follow him and to do what he would have us to do. So here we have the coming Palm Sunday, waving the branches and all of that. A lot of it is just superficial, isn't it? They didn't really understand who Jesus is. We need to have a clear understanding of why he came. to save us from our sins, to give us eternal life, to forgive us and cleanse us and make us what he wants us to be. So may the Lord help us all to look to him and make sure that our faith and trust is in him. He is the Savior. We are his people. May we walk in righteousness before him. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. Pray that you'll help us to do what is right and just in your sight. Make sure that we do have faith in Christ Jesus, and that's our only hope. We cannot save ourselves. There's no way we can add to it. It's only through the precious blood of Jesus that we have eternal life. And may we understand that, and may we follow through with your holy word. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.